Student Assembly Meeting, September 28th, 2006.
All right. If everybody can please take their seats. The meeting is called to order at 4:46. And, clerk, can we get you to call the roll?
Here. Representatives, if they will stand with me and take their oath of office.
Please raise your right hand. All right. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate. In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts. In an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students, and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and new representatives.
Yeah, and if you guys can just sign that and pass that down to Lisa, the clerk down there. All right, at this point during the meeting is open microphone. As I say every week, every member of the Cornell community is considered a non-voting member of the Student Assembly. And if there's anything not on today's agenda that anybody in attendance would like to talk about, now is your time to step up to the microphone and do so. All right, please state your name and your class here, and you have 2 minutes. Hey, Asa, can you turn on the mic? I don't know if it's on. Is it not? Just speak loudly for us. Thank you. Are there any other members of the community who would like to speak during the open microphone? All right. Thank you. And now we'll move on to approval of minutes. And everybody should have a set of those in front of you.
Which one are we approving?
This week. Are there any corrections anybody would like to bring forward?
Offer affirmation.
All right. Is there dissent? All right, the minutes stand approved. At this point, we move on to announcements and reports, and we'll start off with a fall election summary from Vice President Slicklin.
Howdy, everyone. we had a very successful election last week. 28% of the freshman class came out to vote. I don't have the official numbers from last year, but I think it was around 21% that voted, so a 7% increase, which is great. I'd like to welcome the new representatives. There were, in total, there were 2,613 votes cast for the freshman election, and I think it was 180 for the transfer election. So I'd like to congratulate Chris, Danielle, Rami, and Dave.
All right, thank you. Now is Vice President Greenberg with something he'd like to talk about with an early decision discussion.
Okay, hi everybody. I sent an email to many of you, actually all of you, a couple days ago, and it's regarding the early decision debate that's currently happening on campus. I've sent an email to the Vice Provost for Admissions and Enrollment, Dara Spavis. She's going to be getting in contact with me the week after next, and we're going to be setting up a meeting. It's going to be largely an information meeting. Okay, come with questions. Let's find out as much as we can about the debate. But I'd really like to see students that we take an active role in the debate on campus, maybe hearing student opinions and voicing student opinions, and maybe, who knows, where this can lead in terms of our involvement. Okay, so please send me an email if you'd like to be involved in that meeting. It's not mandatory, but I'd really like to see as many of you there as possible.
At this point, there will be an update from Representative Duke on the first university assembly meeting of the year.
Homecoming will be free for all undergraduate students. We work with student agencies, class councils, the Greek community to arrange this. John Feldman, who helped really put this deal together, is in the audience, so thank you, Jonathan. A couple of us had dinner with Trustee Mao Yi last week at Ruloff. That was a fun time. He's a character. We discussed course evaluations and a couple of other issues, and I think some representatives are going to be working on what he suggested. He'd like to get a petition going to show to the university that we do want declassified course evaluations and then to get the ball rolling on something official from the university. Also, a couple of you have been contacted about dinner with Trustee Doug and Ms. Rotonda. I'm going to have to cancel that because not enough of you were able to meet Doug at the time that he wanted to go. Also, the Cornell Chronicle, I was just informed by Vice President Coombs, is looking for an essay column update kind of thing, so we're going to be writing in there soon, so be looking for that. And next week's essay guest room column will focus on homecoming becoming free, so be on the lookout for that. It's going to be a joint letter from the four organizations that sponsored this homecoming initiative. Does anyone have any questions? Also for homecoming, we're doing something with the other three organizations for the United Way to collect money in the first half. I had mentioned that in my email, but apparently I didn't read it. If any of you are interested in helping with the first half, I think we're going to do some kind of presentation of a big check on the field. You'd be more than welcome to join us there. But if you're interested, just speak to me after the meeting. Thank you.
All right, and we have a couple of announcements that did not make it onto the agenda, but were added before the meeting. And the first one is Representative Neal down there with, you should have all gotten this in front of you. And go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to let all of you guys know, Cornell RBRBC is facilitating reconstruction and cleaning up of a flood that occurred down in the Rehipson area this past summer. There's going to be an informational meeting in Martin Hall in the basement, October 3rd, Tuesday at 7 p.m. The dates that we're doing the relief are the 7th and the 21st. And then if you're interested in going on a different day than those days, I can put you in touch with some people for that too. So if you're interested, just talk to me after the meeting. That's all I got.
Next is Representative Self.
This is an update based on the provost. I met with Provost Martin last Friday. It's kind of funny, the secretary forgot I was there 15 minutes, so I went 15 minute meeting instead of half an hour meeting. But we went back. Basically, what I do at the meeting on alternating weeks is I brief her on what the SA has done, just getting a summary of all of our legislation. The next meeting, she tells us updates from the administration and things of interest to my clients, undergraduate. But I talked to her about athletics, the DARPA investment, the resolution we passed about that. Different funding things, and basically the tone of more engagement and the revitalization of the assembly that I've definitely received this year, and she's very excited about that and commended us for our work and for really getting out there with PR and a lot of different initiatives, so she's very glad that's happening. I also did ask her, she was interested when I mentioned a resolution about the purview of the student assembly, she was interested in discussing that with the president and with other members of the senior administration. So they're preparing a brief statement from her that she'll be sending back to us, but I will definitely relay to the essay listener regarding their view on purview and whether we can discuss political issues outside or within higher education and such. So I will be meeting with her again in about 2 weeks for the administration side. If anything you'd like to discuss, like to bring up, or if you'd like to come along, maybe one or two people can also come along to the meeting if you're available that time, just shoot me an email, but I will be happy to do that. And later on in the year, I'm going to be working on some initiatives with some more larger discussions with more SA members, with Provost Martin, perhaps a meal or some sort of reception, and I'm also going to be inviting her to an SA meeting perhaps next semester. Any questions?
Next is Vice President Bonser.
Sorry, this will just take a second. I just wanted to remind everyone that on October 12th, Mayor Peterson is coming to our meeting. And I think it's a little bit unclear on whether or not we're going to have a meeting next week because it's the week before fall break.
I'm sure that'll
be discussed a little bit, but regardless of whether or not we do or don't, it is in 2 weeks. It might be our next meeting, so that's why I wanted to remind you guys now. And I'll send something out, but I really just want you guys to start thinking about issues that you'd like to bring up with, you know, the mayor of Ithaca and, you know, any big initiatives that you're curious about or interested in getting involved with or any, you know, just any questions that you have for her, really, or things that you'd like to see her discuss. So you can definitely email those to me or tell me about them. And hope to see you all then.
All right. Since Sarah brought that up, I'm going to shoot over to you in a second. But I want to go ahead and make this announcement. As for the next meeting, like you know, it's right before fall break. So if anybody knows they're not going to be here next Thursday, shoot Alon an email, and we'll figure that stuff out. But just as long as you know, sometime in advance, give him an email. And I'll go over to Maddie.
I'm not actually using the microphone because I'd rather not infect it. I just want to say thanks to everybody who came to the SASB budget hearing last weekend. They were really successful. The e-board as a whole has been really proud of how the commissioners have been working this year. At the moment, we have tasks in place for all of the individual events, co-organized events, as well as club sports. As usual, club sports caps continue to be an issue, and I think we'll be working more on that in the future. Again, if anybody would like to stop by hearings to get a taste of that, by all means, you're welcome. They're on Saturday from 10:30 to 4 in the International Lounge. But again, thank you for coming last weekend.
Were there any more announcements? Are you able to represent the Yiddish?
I inform everybody that I will no longer be able to head up YouTube Street SA team. I know I will be in New Orleans instead. So if there's anybody else that would like to step up to the plate, that would be really helpful. And CJ would like to say, hey, I hope you all the information.
All right, now there are any more announcements? Okay, we'll move on to our business of the day. And if everybody will give a welcome to Ms. Falson, Dean Hubble, and Ms. Matrona. Let's give them one of these.
Usually if one of them's off, then
everyone
switches
their
mic on,
because they're like interconnected. There's a slide.
The mics are all interconnected, so if one mic is off, then it shuts off like three or four other ones.
All right. Dean Hubble was he was asked to put on the agenda. Okay, but if he's not, y'all can just go ahead and start. That's fine.
Copyright Act 1988, which was an amendment to the existing copyright law 1976. And that law Cornell University, we act as a conduit in our ISP function, and as a conduit between students that are not university-owned, we therefore have no necessary legal liability by which we should respond to this argument. As a matter of policy, we have decided to do so, again, because we believe it is important that students learn what the law is, and also how to act in citizenship and governance. I think there's an additional lesson that comes by way of education to us all that this issue is larger than simple violation. The issues of copyright are not settled in law right now because of the advancement of technology, large computers and network systems that have changed and dramatically affected the business of the elements. Of course, this is why they have taken such a direct stand against higher education, if not a file sharing community internationally, but not nationally. Nationally, there are about 100 million file share users. The original most popular program, yes, was shut down in 2001, first by an injunction and then later by a court decision. Other file share programs emerged without central databases, and such programs are now largely settling with the recording industry as a result of the Rock to Paper, which was decided by the Supreme Court a year and a half ago or so. When we received a notice here at Cornell University, we blocked upon notice. We sent out a letter to the individual ISP to IP number to connect, and we offered three options. The first option is to cease and desist. The second option is to explore security problems, which are diagnostic areas to determine and is less likely now because of our quarantine and higher security program. The third option is a counter notice option, and that would be that the university would supply the individual's information if they believe they would legal right to get it. I have processed over 400 DMCA decisions in the next 4 or 5 years, and I have not had one person indicate that they believe they would be interested. As a result of University Policy 5.1 and a network administrator, university officials believe they have observed the violations of our policy, it is required to report that to the judicial administration, so that is what we do. Once we receive notice from the individual, we immediately
All right, yes, thank you, and we'll get into it. If anybody has any questions, just raise your hand. Okay, we'll start with Representative Self.
How many referrals are made to the Judicial Administrator's Office each year for copyright violations?
I think Kwame published the other day something in the paper that had the exact numbers. I don't hope you know, because I don't have that earlier from me, but whatever those numbers were, they were supplied to him from my office.
Okay.
So in 2003, I think there were over 200. When we had the legal media program, they were low numbers in some parts because perhaps people were using the legal media and therefore not doing file sharing in some parts because I think the rumors that the recording industry went lighter on the institution than the legal media program is probably true. So I think so, you know, it's we've always had lower numbers than any other school. Our size, we've been co-rated and definitely across our peers. We are among the least, and we're the only Ivy League institution that has closed only one. Really, Cornell is a leader in this area. You may not be aware of it, but it's a leader in the area of addressing the issues of digital copyright by complying with the law, by offering educational programming in the way to discuss large political issues involved in digital copyright. And third, our position is we can outline our networks for content. We did have a fourth prong at one point, which was the legal media program, and it would be great to see the student assembly.
All right, Representative Santana.
Good afternoon, and thanks so much for coming in to speak with us today. I noticed that their emails have gone out to undergraduates regarding these policies. What other forms of advertising are you considering doing, or do you have in the process, that are making students aware about this? Because, I don't know what the exact legal ramifications are. I don't think students realize how serious this is. Have you given any thought to what other types of PR could be involved aside from a guest room column and an email at the undergraduates?
We would love, I would love, for the student assembly to make
this
main issue. I think when I was listening here, which is my position is that nothing about digital copyright is going to change from the perspective of the law, so heavily favored content owners unless it becomes a threat to the political movement. Individual actions of copyright infringement are not going to change the law. They are a violation of the law, but they will not change the law. They do not constitute civil disobedience. You can't do civil disobedience quietly by yourself. You have to do things and organize political action. And I would urge you, with any help that I can offer, to begin to educate the entire college community and become leaders for the rest of the college and university community around the country. The student assembly takes this on as a principal issue for your generation because it does have ramifications for information that is available in the public domain, who gets to own information, who gets to share it, who gets to use it. And given your stage in life and the lines that you have on entertainment material or identity formation, or even for the very fact that you don't make enough money to be able to go out and buy it, and only people then do one thing is that there's trying to figure out where it's a very important issue for you guys to take. Any education you guys want You had an authentication program tutorial that you took when you signed on to the network for the first time. So that's a pretty quick and dirty in terms of not only receiving that information, but having to take a tutorial before you get full authentication to the network. We do send out an annual notice when the university receives more pertinent information, such as last year when the president elect Portland received a letter from the NCAA and RIAA indicating that they were aware of the existence of toughness or darkness in their calling, such as the C++, and that they might be investigating those networks just as they had Internet 2 the year before. We might let people know about that information, and occasionally whether they came out perhaps in a timely moment. But given the vigor with which the entertainment industry has gone into investigation, including the hiring of private intelligence firms in order to ferret out how those materials transfer, I thought that was important for the university community students to know that there was a possibility of infiltration in their investigatory power, even on the intranet search. So when we get additional information, we try to get to the best we can. Finally, there's the University Computer Policy and Law Program. I understand you each got a flyer in your residential hall, which you did. We have advertised it, it goes on public radio, it goes in the sun. There are posters that go up in all of the residence dorms, and I send copies to the same. So you tell me what we can do there, and I'll start coming.
Thank you.
Leafy Greenberg.
All right, I just wanted to personally attest to professional conduct with you two. I was actually one of your 400 in the past. I made the mistake of downloading a secondary Brad Pitt video on my own computer. I absolutely regret it. And not really. Delco is very professional. He's very professional. Warning was in place. My question is regarding the legal ramifications for students after they graduate. Now, I've had my warning. I understand that it was with my situation was with the Motion Picture Association of America. If for whatever reason, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, something similar happens, now are they going to have the individual's name somewhere? Is this going to be? Is this kind of case going to be referred to in the future?
But I did send your name specifically. We have never released an individual's name or the MCA notice to the content notice. And it would not, at least some measure of what might constitute for violation, but also if the policy position is in our office, it would not do so. In 2003, the number of BMCA notices went up very dramatically, and part of the plan on the reporting system in the motion picture industry was that they were going to use what was known as a fast track method to find out the identities of individuals associated with those alleged offenses. The Horizon Corporation, most of the decision one have to undergo the administrative burden of finding out the identity of the users that were alleged on their network to be infringing copyright, fought their action. They gained a lot of popularity and positive friends with protecting individuals' privacy, but which one is going to have a matter of they're not wanting to have to do all the administrative at any rate, in that case went all the way up to the D.C. Court of Appeals, where it was found that it was inappropriate interpretation of the MCA for content owners to use a fast track method in order to find out the identity of individuals. So that now they have to go back to the old tried-and-true method of bringing the full-fledged copyright and not only in the D.C. court, which would be very easy for them given their offices in D.C., but in the local federal court according to the federal rules of civil procedure. Consequently, the number of those notices has gone down dramatically, and they began to put more of their resources into making individuals' lawsuits against alleged copyright infringers. And as I mentioned before, Cornell has only had one subpoena merging out that kind of case to reveal the identity. And because it was a compulsory legal paper, and Cornell complied with all laws, he is complied with that subpoena request for the identity of that student.
So Tracy is mentioning subpoena, but when there's a case of legitimacy, there's not a disciplinary file. So, FERC, which is a federal law, it doesn't privacy. So we also
All right. Were there any more questions? Yes. Representative R. Salem.
How far are you in the investigation with DC++? What
investigation?
Like, I mean, to track illegal copyright infringement.
I hope you carefully discern that it is the Recording Industry of America and the Motion Picture Association of America that is concerned about investigating copyright infringement. No one in Cornell University is monitoring the network or doing an investigation looking for copyright infringement. We are responding to notices that we receive for a law that requires that they be 11 elements in the notice that they sent to us in order for us to take action on the notice. But it is entirely generated by the RIA, the MPA, the Software Business Alliance, some corporations that have come to the game, such as Sony Corporation, and then the occasional rogue notice that might come to someone who's about to call me or somebody else, or something like that. The vast majority of these come from the RIA and the MPA.
Why are you
worried about it?
Oh, no.
Go get you. If you're wondering that it's happening to the next, you would individual like THX,
No, I was just wondering, because if you want to take an active part in eliminating the whole copyright infringement thing, I was thinking if you guys did detect something. You take a random person from every residence hall who did copyright infringe and reprimand him harshly and make it known. And it'll strike fear in the people's heart. That's all I
trust. I personally
congratulate
you on the leader in the nation for addressing the issues of copyright and political issues rather than Cornell breaking its own policy of free inquiry and free network. In order to go after individuals that target confidential measures. I think this issue is a much more complicated political issue, and I would encourage you all to address it rather than a statement.
All right, thank you. Representative Hartman, take care of that.
A quick question. How long do you need a copyright file?
Because there's a thought of incorporation and the digital millennium copyright act. That's a great question, and that is precisely the kind of thing that needs to be addressed, because the recording industry will pour millions of dollars into lobbying for extension of the clause to protect the copyright. And if there is not a grassroots movement to react to that kind of thing, you begin to see how corporations and individuals can lock up entertainment information and private ownership in a way that might better serve the public interest to have it in public domain. But you can only address those issues as a shared view and through political movements. You can't do it on individual action on the DC++.
All right, and unless anybody has anything else pressing, we're going to go to Representative Lavin for our last question.
Oh, it's more of a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
To close all this up, I think that's great that everyone can kind of ask us to take on this initiative, and I think that was going to be an appropriate way to connect to the other Ivy schools. I've talked with an Ivy Y organization that connects all of the school governments, and I think that could be an appropriate venue.
All right, thank you very much for coming to us today. We appreciate it. All right, at this point in the meeting, Vice President Boncher is going to present us with a variety of Appropriations Committee decisions.
No. Hi guys. Okay, so for those of you who were not on AFCOM or don't remember maybe how violent funding worked last year or what the purview of the Appropriations Committee is, the Appropriations Committee is going to be checking balances for the FA's budget. And a lot of you guys know, a lot of committee chairs that have asked me for budgets over the last couple of weeks so that I could get a sense of what our budget is actually going to look like for the year. And the way that the procedure works is that a committee chair, or really anyone who's requesting money from the SA budget, comes before AFCOM and makes an appeal for it. We basically have like a little hearing, they make a presentation, AFCOM members can ask questions about the budget, and then that representative leaves the room, and anyone affiliated with the organization leaves the room, and AFCOM votes. AFCOM, by the way, is six voting SA members, myself as the seventh, and nine community members. So that's kind of sort of our check and balance system. So we actually heard five budgets this week. The two that we're going to be calling to approve or obtain AFCOM's decision today are first IV Council. So I'm just going to call Ryan Eagle over there. You guys all have got IV Council's budget in front of you. And Ryan's just going to give like a really quick explanation of, I know that no one really had the chance to like look over the exact numbers. He's really just going to give a quick explanation of his budget, and then I will explain what the appropriations committee's decision was, which you actually also had in front of you when we allocated it, and you can ask any questions, and then we're going to vote on whether or not to uphold the decision of the appropriations committee, or else do that. If you vote not to do so, then we sort of allocate the budget. So, Maya, why don't you explain what you got?
Sure. Okay, so you have my council's budget, which is under the 4.0 allocation. Basically, it's just the funding of the district for each of the next step we participated in private council. So, fall and spring hearing just consists of three 4.0 delegates for the that are on the keyboard, myself and then two others that are on the keyboard of IV Council. And it just, the main thing is the transportation that I allocate, and then I allow one meal for the steering meeting, and then two meals for weekend trips. So, two conferences, two steering meetings, one IV Leadership Summit, and then the IV Council meetings.
Okay. In AFCOM, the Appropriations Committee unanimously approved the budget to fully fund it. The one change that we made, which actually doesn't appear on this budget, was just that there was a small mathematical error. So the allocation that Ryan was actually getting is $3,641.60. So basically what we need to do now is vote. You guys, the floor is basically open to ask questions if you want to, or else you can just call to acclaim the decision of AFCOM. And eventually, like the vote that we're going to be doing is whether or not you would like to uphold AFCOM's decision. If you vote yes, it means that you are voting yes to AFCOM's decision. If you vote no, it means that you kind of like to delve into this and sort of reallocate the budget right now. Okay.
All right, we are now going to vote.
No discussion.
Anyone who has questions?
Are there any questions for Representative Lana?
Or for me, representing at
any debate?
Is there any debate? Anybody? Please do bring it forward. Yes,
Representative Lana.
Second.
Okay, now we're going to vote. We have a motion to vote.
Call for acclamation. Someone's a second. You say, is there any dissent?
All right. Is there any dissent?
This means that we approve this, but you don't. That we're not holding a vote. So.
Any dissent? All right. Unanimous consent.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Now, the next budget that we have, the second budget that we're going to be looking at today is that of the Communications Committee. You guys have, it looks like this. This is the original budget that we submitted. We submitted a budget for $6,125, and AFCOM voted to fund him $3,725, so about half of that. And I explained in this two-sheet document the decisions that AFCOM made and where AFCOM felt it was appropriate to cut the budget more or less in half. So EJ is going to explain his budget, I guess, and any discrepancies that he felt that AFCOM didn't cover, if he wants more money, less money, whatever.
Okay, I'd like to thank AFCOM for looking at this. I originally asked for $6,125, got knocked down to $3,725, and I'd like to knock it down a little bit further. You all have semester, I'd like to propose that we get rid of an additional one. I frankly think this is a waste of our resources. Each newsletter would be about $400, and I think an $800 chunk for a newsletter that wouldn't reach nearly as many people as it should. It's a waste of resources. So if you could all just strike that from your budget to subtract $800 from the original allocation. Also, stationery was wiped out. I didn't get that. Entertainers, $200, you all see that.
Point of inquiry. You said to strike 800, but newsletters are currently funded at 16. So you're just taking two more newsletters out, or are you eliminating the category?
Yeah.
Two more newsletters out. It's all newsletter
production.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. This is what we're going
to do. Oh, wait. It's not Isaac Chairman to consult more daily with the parliamentarian.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, John. Okay, people have to wait until CJ finishes his budget presentation.
Can I just explain what's going on?
Well,
I'm cutting my budget is cut. I'm cutting it even further because I reviewed the allocation decision. And I think that the $800 from newsletters was at least zero resources. And as you'll see in the agenda later today, I have a resolution to change the charter to say that. My first response is to look at it.
Yeah, what I wanted to explain to everyone else is that, okay, CJ obviously had this original budget, which asked some cut in half, and we have all the explanations for that below. Essentially, when CJ's done with his presentation, we're still going to vote, just like we did last time, on whether or not to uphold the decision of ASCOM. What it looks like now is that if you vote not to uphold the decision of ASCOM, we can go back to CJ's requests, which are to cut even more of his budget, and vote on a new number, which CJ obviously has in mind a specific number that he'd like to cut his budget down to. Is everyone clear on that? So we're still going to vote on whether, after CJ's done, we're still going to vote on whether or not you'd like to uphold the decision of ASCOM to fund him at $373,725. If you vote no on that, then we go to a new number. And we can, anyone can propose new numbers. CJ obviously has a new number in mind. Yes.
If the budget is not
Yes, representative. Please go ahead.
If the whole budget is not used, does it go back to the pool where it came from?
At the end of the year.
Okay.
But basically, if it's allocated right now, we're essentially freezing it for CJ's use.
All right, and then I guess I'll stop presenting my approved budget, and then once we vote on approving upholding the allocation, then I'll present a new one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, basically, yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to vote based on what is established at this point. Yeah, and then if people vote that down based on, what you just said, since you have indicated that you want to change, we can go back to the drawing board after that. Okay. All right, is there any debate or questions? Yes, ma'am.
The asterisks were there originally because there was some debate on whether or not we were able to use student assembly funds from the student activity fee for fundraising for charities as controlled by the budget advisor, and we will be using that fund. That would include events like 5 others no one participated in, specifically if we don't have to participate, but future events like that.
Okay. Were you entirely done with your presentation?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Were there any further representatives?
How many publications are you going to be able to do with
$400? With $400 per semester?
Well, yeah, per semester.
This item is on the agenda. We'll be discussing it later during the new business. But with $400, I was hoping for one newsletter at approximately 1,500 copies.
Representative Gaines. Okay. Yes. Great. Okay.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay, dissent. Okay, we're going to take a hand vote at this time.
Are we voting or are we...
Well, you just dissented on the call back action.
Call the question.
Excuse me. All right. So, do we? Yeah. Okay. Actually, yeah. Let me. I will. Okay. I will clarify this. Okay. We have called. Okay. We have a call to question, which means that we're going to vote based on exactly what has been presented to us. And then, if people vote that down, we're going to go back to the drawing board, like VP Boxer has said. Okay, so do you still dissent to the call to question?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're going to vote based on what has been presented to us.
We're voting on the appropriation, right?
Yes.
Point of order, so if you guys want to change it to what CJ is suggesting, you should vote down what appropriation is suggesting and someone make a change to the budget. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to do a hand vote. Okay.
You might want to do a roll call.
Okay, or we can do a roll call vote. Clerk, let's call the roll.
Make sure you say the letter. No.
Yeah. But no.
Abstain. T-shirts or banner?
I do. The T-shirts were for 25 individuals, 23 SA voting members of the 2D8. It's approximately $344.
Great. And banner?
The banner, I found some for as low as 175 and for as much as 300.
Great. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Were there any further representative gain?
Send him that website, please.
All right, Representative Stern.
My job responsibilities is that the newsletter would be
All right, were there any further questions? Are there any motions?
Second.
All right.
Call the question, what number? CJ's number is 2,690.
All right, so this call the question is on the number that has just been presented as my CJ, the new number. Okay. We'll go ahead and clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Dane.
Yes.
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 All right, 17 yeses, 3 abstentions. Vice President Slickland, your budget is passed, sir. All right, at this time, you'll notice on the agenda that President Thomason is going to make a little business of the day. President Thomason is not here, and thus we will be moving on to. Okay, President Thomason is outside. President Thomason is coming in the door.
At the beginning.
So now, President Thomason, you, sir, have business of the day at this exact moment. And it works out since your EDP is already chairing. Okay. That has been moved to the table.
To the chair, I motion to reconsider Resolution 1, which was previously voted down.
And put it in unfinished business.
And to place that in new business.
No, it has to be considered today. Today's the only day that we can touch it.
Okay.
In unfinished business. But it's a
That was
point of information. It's a charter change that doesn't the original motion, the original resolution failed. So you have to submit another resolution, do you not?
No. I was just looking at Robert's rules.
Yeah, is this okay. I'm going to defer to Vice President Bonner.
Just to explain for everyone, I'm sorry that we have to keep revisiting this issue. There is a resolution. I'll explain what the resolution was if we get to that. But basically, we had a resolution for a charter change at the beginning of the year. It was the first resolution that we dealt with. And since the assembly wasn't full yet, since the four new voting members weren't a part of the assembly, and it's a charter change requires 2/3 vote. Basically, we need it was voted down 13-5, which was not 2/3 of the entire assembly. So we're going to revisit it in order for this resolution to actually be voted on by the entire assembly, meaning now you four. We're going to need to put it back on the table today. I'll try to explain it as in depth as possible, and we need to vote on it today. It's going to be revisited right now really quickly, and we need to vote on it. Hopefully we can just explain it as in depth as you want and as you need, but it really shouldn't take on. So that's the situation.
I also motion to table resolutions 11 and 12 until our next meeting.
Resolution 12 has been tabled at the request of the other author already who's not here today. First we're going to take out your original motion to put Resolution 1 into unfinished business for the day. Anybody need a second? We'll take a hand vote on this. At this point, you are vote. If you vote yes, you're voting to introduce Resolution 1 into unfinished business today. All right. The motion passes. Resolution 1 is now on the agenda.
Okay.
Was there any dissent to that motion? All right, it was unanimous.
New, maybe more legitimate track. I think it's absolutely true, and I think that floor is now open for discussion. First, we have Vice President Slickman.
Hello. I just want to clarify for the four new representatives. Are you at all concerned that we're basically handing the voting rights of student assembly members into a committee that is of student assembly handled? Like, there are non-voting members on student assembly that are basically controlling the votes of student assembly members. Are you all concerned about that? Well, it where's the database? Is that an SASC database or? Who has access to this database? The SAFC members?
I mean, no. Well, no. It's not even the coaches who have it, because actually, for those of you who've taken the test, I know Siobhan asked you about this before, when you're done taking it, there's like an ethical thing that like comes up at the end. What the SAFC does is they require for all the presidents and treasurers to have this like printed out document and like handed it in with all of their other paperwork. So they don't even go into the database. Basically, the only people who are almost, like, I just figured that you guys would want to print all this stuff out and, you know, give it to me after you're done taking the test. Like, you know, it's just a question of I'm going to be able to carry the list of everyone.
Wait, you still haven't answered the question. Who has access to the data?
Carrie.
Just Carrie. So how does Scott and McFulkin or the co-chairs of the SAFC have access to who has taken that test?
Because they have the sheet of paper. And I guess if they ask, sorry, to like look up a net, I guess they push up basically what they do is not, they don't like go into the database and like look at everyone's stuff. They just look at the paperwork that they have. Because you have to, like, if you take the test, then there's just something that you print out at the end of it, and then it's over.
Alright, thank you.
Representative, you mind taking that mic?
For undergraduate groups applying for funding, do they need to present like an agenda of activities, or do they just apply?
To the SAC?
Yeah.
No, they have to go through a very, very like formalized process. They usually have to have their entire semester mapped out by like the second week of school. So, you know, they like everyone who applies to the SAC, which is a very large number of people on campus, they really all have to do, like, you can't just sort of whimsically apply as stuff comes up to the courses under very special circumstances.
It's going to be asked for price quotes, for mileage, but it's not.
It's very, very, very exact. And they basically have it all mapped out by, like, the first and second week as well. So that's why if groups don't get funding and they feel like they shouldn't have funding, it's a big problem for them because it really. They feel like they don't really have any other alternative in terms of applying for SAC funding, you know, in the semester. This is kind of their one shot. And then, you know, appealing to the SAC is their first, like, last shot, and then appealing to us is, like, it.
Okay, Representative Kay.
Let me start this by saying that I'm taking the test. I've probably been here very and of course, if it makes sense to everybody sitting here should take it and understand what's obviously going on. My major concern, and as I would know last time, and I encourage everybody to know if we're going to show the is that part of our duty as a representative of constituents is to be able to vote and the others recording. And based on this, if it's a technicality, you don't have to step, you don't have to serve as everyone's representative because you won't be able to take part in the decision making process. And part of the responsibility in our job is to be knowledgeable and informed representatives, and I trust that everyone's here. And so I don't think it makes sense for one of them in the better to limit themselves to the actual mechanism, despite the technicality that they have. This doesn't make sense.
No, they didn't answer the question. Representative Parker.
I'm going to give a dissenting viewpoint, too. Does someone want to give an affirmative viewpoint for me?
Representative Parker.
Proxy.
What? Oh, you're
but not resolution one. I take that back, not for resolution one.
They can't vote because they didn't fund it. Okay, Representative Farmer. Laura, did that answer the question?
Is this even worth it to have that? Do we have enough people? Like, are we going to have to see?
You can disable it if you want.
I only reconsidered this one here. This is the only time.
Okay.
There's 19 people here. Yeah.
So I will answer the motion. What was the motion?
Okay.
It's up to you.
No, then I like to
table
it.
You can't table it. It can only be
you can't table it. It can only be reconsidered this meeting, but it's up to you whether or not you want us to vote on it. Representative, I'm sorry.
I don't really feel like speaking anymore.
Okay. Vice President Coombs.
All right. I originally voted yes on this resolution. Since it's being reconsidered today, I'm considering changing my vote, but I thought it was only fair to tell you exactly why. Like U.S. Congress, for instance, if you have a very ignorant congressman who has no idea about something he's voting on, he's still guaranteed that vote. The honorable thing to do would be for him to abstain. And that lies in the personal responsibility of everybody sitting at the table. So if there were something that came up from the FASC that people felt like they didn't know anything about, it would be their personal responsibility and their duty to their own personal honor to say, I'm going to abstain from this. But without making any type of a precedent of removing power from the representatives themselves. So I wanted to say, like, I'm going to vote no on this. But if there's ever anything that comes before the assembly that I don't know related to FASC, I will make you a personal pledge right now that I would abstain. And I hope that everyone who votes no and would totally agree with me on this. That's basically just one of my statements.
I
Representative Levin.
Well, basically, my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of this, we are the umbrella of the FASC. We have to start passing and tell it, you know, it appeals to us. So it's sort of the same standard and the same guidelines that we provide by, but that inconsistency is just really makes no logical sense. So I feel that we have to, as acting as the appellate body, be an appellate body with the same standard that they originally applied for and were eligible for. And I can attest as well, it was very important, I got a lot out of it. And also to clarify, I don't know, CJ, I'm sorry. You can't even fail. I don't know if you're worried about people accessing the database without being tested and failing. You can't fail.
No, that's...
If you keep going with your test, then, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Representative Zena.
We voted on something earlier today from the Appropriations Committee. I don't specifically remember it. Take a test on the Appropriations Committee's guidelines. With that, I'd like to call the previous question.
Is there a motion to call the previous question? Is there a second? Is there a dissent? Okay. Before we vote, are there any members of the community that would like to speak?
They can talk to you.
Please step up to the microphone and state your name again for the record. Members that would like to speak. All right, and now the sponsors have 2 minutes to respond if you'd like.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, with regard to the holy nature of our charter and how scary this might be to be an amendment to the charter for the charter for the president has, the president has if it does change. Which every once in a while they'll update it. There's really no reason why their bylaws, their handbooks that have online can be that you can begin to change it at all.
Now we're going to call the roll. If you're voting yes, you're voting to approve this charter amendment. If you're voting no, you're voting to disapprove of it. If you're abstaining, then feel as though you don't have enough information. Clerk, please call the roll.
One question at a time. Well, this could be really good question. You can just tell me the question. But I thought the original reason why we're voting again is we had only 19 members before, and now we have less. Does that matter?
The prevailing side made a motion to reconsider the vote in light of the fact that we didn't have a full assembly. We only had 19 people. Now we have 23. Did that answer the question?
Oh, that consideration motion, it only comes into effect for the motion to reconsider. It's not a consideration because it's already on the assembly floor.
No, I understand that.
That 19 was used as a qualification to bring it back to reconsider. It's no longer that. The thing that
I think
that one thing that I talked to Sarah about is to reconsider, like, just the assembly circumstances to reconsider, and the assembly circumstances that the assembly wasn't a full membership and the original vote was taken. So that was what was the reason that allowed it to be brought up to be reconsidered in the first place, but it's no longer a consideration now that they voted on it. Everyone has to re-vote. They can change their vote from their original vote and keep the same for that.
Point of information, how many votes does Resolution 1 need to be passed?
16.
16, that's right. Thank you. Okay, thank you for that explanation. Okay, clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
No. Yes.
No.
Crockett?
Abstain.
Fernandez?
Yes.
Basil?
Yes.
Arfield?
Yes.
And the motion, the resolution fails. Okay, on to new business.
14.
Resolution 14, resolution regarding VP of PR duties. Sponsor, Vice President Flinton. Okay, Okay, thank you. The floor is now open for discussion. Let me remind everyone that this is new business, so there is no debate. This is for questions and comments about the resolution. Vice President Greenberg.
Okay, so just to clarify, the reason why this is not a big deal and we're still going to be able to communicate with the student body is because we have other means of communication, such as the Cornell Daily Sun, the Cornell Chronicle, in addition to a weekly update in the Cornell Sun about what happened at each SA meeting, in addition to further PR efforts, getting our name out in the newspaper, talking to teachers more than ever. Is this correct?
This is correct. We're also working on a number of different things today. Employees, what are called, might be a blogger or something.
So would you say that our communication with the student body would be equal to or more than previous years?
I'd say it'd be more than.
Liaison Goldfarb. Okay, is there anyone else that wishes to be placed on the speaker list?
Motion.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn, seeing that there's nothing else on the agenda?
Motion to adjourn.
What happened to the resolution?
There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
30%?
Nope.
What happened?
There's a resolution world. Folks,